Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of May 13th. We'll start as usual with some local news. RCS classes to end a week early. Friday marks the final day of classes for Rantoul City Schools. Superintendent Michelle Ramage said school is ending earlier than anticipated because we worked over spring break. Classes are ending a week earlier than originally scheduled. Ramage said the extra time is needed for planning and preparation. We have a lot to clean and prepare for the next school year, she said. One of the additions will be the installation of plexiglass in offices as a safety feature similar to what has been installed in many grocery stores to protect employees and the public. She said RCS has a plan for various eventualities. We just have a lot of planning to do for the fall, a lot of options, Ramage said. Will we start on time? Will we have to do social distancing? Social distancing will allow only 8 students per classroom. Ramage said RCS's classrooms are small and there wouldn't be enough room for all the students. Ramage also said there will be no summer school program this year. We don't really have summer school per se, she said. We have what we call extended school year for our special needs students who qualify. Ramage said there aren't many special needs students. They will continue to learn using the remote learning tools. RCS will have one more Monday food distribution of breakfast and lunch meals to cover the week. For those needing meals after that, lunches only will be available at Rantoul Youth Center. Sign up is available on the Village of Rantoul website, myrantoul.com. RCS will continue to make breakfasts available through June. Ramage said the May 4th meal distribution dropped from about 10,000 meals in previous weeks to about 7,500 meals. She said she is not sure why. Jill's to move from downtown Rantoul to Champaign, travel agency to take its place. 2 downtown Rantoul businesses will be moving. Jill's Creative Expressions is moving out of its building at 101 East Sangamon Avenue to 1502 West Church Street, Champaign. Owner John Mumaw will operate the business out of a building he constructed at his home. Meanwhile, Anywhere Anytime Journeys, which has been leasing space from Janet Bretherton at Lindsay Lane Bridal, 200 block of East Sangamon Avenue, will move into the Jill's building. Mumaw, who bought the Jill's business from founder Jill Allred in 2013, said the primary reason for the move was his concern about his health a year ago. Then, my kids are young enough, at the age I kind of felt I really needed to be around the house, he said. Adding that having 2 properties didn't make too much sense. It just seemed like the smart thing to do, Mumaw said. He said he had seen a downward trend in business even before the onset of the coronavirus, to the point where he had not employed anyone other than himself since the beginning of the year. I think people just don't have the disposable income like they used to, Mumaw said. A lot of the groups, you could see them slowly getting less and less things. Jill's sells items such as trophies, plaques, signs, and banners. Holding a youth league tournament, Jill's could supply the trophies. For high school award winners, Jill's would supply the plaques. Having a company picnic or a welcome home event, the business supplies banners and signs. The company has also made many items for the University of Illinois, but that too has diminished due to NCAA restrictions. Mumaw will run the business from a 40-foot by 24-foot garage he built himself. A native of Arcola, Mumaw came to Rantoul in 1991 to work as a DJ at the Hitchin Post, operated by Allred's father. He later began working for Allred, a job he held for 11 years before buying the business. It's been good, he said. In those 18 years, I've seen so many things leave the downtown. It's just wild, even in the time I've been here, let alone someone who is a lifer here. I really do think the movement toward the interstate is probably a good idea. The depot used to be the center of town. Now it's the interstate. Travel agency needed more elbow room. Brad Martin, founder and CEO of Anywhere Anytime Journeys, said his business will rent the former Jill's store for a year and then buy it. We've grown, and we needed to find a bigger space, Martin said. The other thing is people have been saying they didn't know where there was a travel agency because we weren't in a storefront. We felt it was time to check into other options. Martin said he had been looking for a new location for about a year and a half. When he heard about Moomaw moving, they began talking. "We're excited because we have a lot more space," Martin said. "We'll be on a storefront. I look at this with the COVID-19. It's a time for change." Anywhere Anytime took over rental of the property on Friday. With the travel agency being closed due to Governor J.B. Pritzker's stay-at-home order, it was a good time to move, he said. A June 15 opening has been targeted. It gives us time to get it all set up, said Martin. In the meantime, he has been working at home and helping people with their travel needs. Most of that is helping people reschedule. Most of his clients who had booked for this time decided to reschedule for next year. "We're busy in the fact I'm working with the vendors so the clients won't be losing any money," he said. "Hopefully by next year there will be a vaccine out there." He has some clients who are still planning to travel to Europe in July. "We're playing it safe for them," he said. "My biggest thing with my clients is I want to make sure they're safe and they're getting the best value." Martin said the number of people traveling started to decline the second week of February. He said he began watching countries' borders being closed. In one case, he knew before it was announced that the Dominican Republic would be closing its borders. He had two clients there and couldn't get a hold of them because they had turned their cell phones off, so he phoned their hotel and asked the personnel to let his clients know they needed to head home or they would be trapped in the Dominican. Another group had planned to vacation in Hawaii for 3 weeks. Martin told them to head home early because a quarantine was going to go into effect. Martin says he believes his job will be more difficult in the future, but he also believes more people will use travel professionals just because of what's happened in recent times. CHECK moves police department a step closer to instituting Project Lifesaver. The Rantoul Police Department is getting closer to the amount of money needed for the purchase of equipment to begin a Project Lifesaver program. Lieutenant Justin Bowes said an additional $2,500 is needed to buy the equipment for the program that makes it easier for emergency personnel to track compromised individuals who have wandered off. "I'm hoping for one other grant from the Alzheimer Foundation," Bowes said. "If I could get it completely funded through grants, that would be ideal." Bowes said he is hoping to secure the funding within the next couple of months, with training possible during the summer, provided the COVID-19 quarantine has been lifted. Country financial agent Jim Nelson recently donated the second of two $1,500 checks to the department toward the project. "The idea is to make money available to help people like autistic and dementia patients who have a tendency to walk away and get lost," Nelson said. "The whole idea of the country financial program is to do things to help the police force and help our community in general. The equipment will include a receiver and bracelets to be worn by individuals. Training would teach personnel how to put the bracelet on a person, how to change batteries, how to use the receiver, as well as how to locate people. What really drove the start of the program was we had a missing autistic male from South Point, and we also had a girl with Down syndrome who's gone missing in the past," Bowes said. "There was also a resident of Eagles View retirement community that went missing. One individual who was wearing only a light jacket went missing in inclement weather. About 4.5 hours later, he was located by a state police helicopter using a thermal imaging unit." COVID-19 update. Totals reach 83 cases at Rantoul Foods. No new cases Thursday. SafeWorks Illinois has issued the following press release regarding Rantoul Foods. It appears as presented. As of today, Rantoul Foods has received notification from the CU Public Health Department, CUPHD, of 83 positive cases of COVID-19 among Rantoul Foods employees. Testing is ongoing, and efforts are being made by community leaders, as well as Rantoul Foods management, to encourage employees to utilize one of the available test sites, such as the Carl facility on Mattis Avenue in Champaign, or the Francis Nelson Health Center on Bloomington Road in Champaign. Determining the true number of employees who have yet to be tested is complex. Outside of the on-site testing on May 8th and 9th, where employees who participated were tracked, Rantoul Foods must rely on self-reporting by employees that they have been tested. CUPHD only receives reports of positive cases from testing facilities. The Cultivadores Latino Center in Rantoul is working to bridge the gap by reaching out to untested employees to encourage them to receive COVID-19 testing. The Cultivadores Latino Center services the Latino community by offering social services, counseling, a food pantry, and is currently serving as an emergency daycare for essential workers. Their founder, Reverend Nelson Cuevas, and his wife, Esther, the center's bilingual social worker, believe this puts them in a unique position to facilitate having those employees participate in testing. Reverend Cuevas has indicated that employees will be referred to Francis Nelson in Champaign because they have a strong contingent of Spanish-speaking staff to help deal with possible language barrier issues. Rantoul Foods is providing pork to the Cultivadores food pantry to ensure that those affected and any families that need assistance do not go hungry. In an ongoing effort to ensure the safety of the employees at Rantoul Foods, the Illinois pork producers will be conducting an environmental virus survey at the plant. U of I staff members will review the Rantoul Foods floor plan and then will take samples over several visits at different locations throughout the plant. These samples will be analyzed for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and the information will be complied to identify any hot spots for the virus throughout the plant. If hot spots are identified through sample collection, this will give Rantoul Foods management more information on where to focus their increased hand sanitizer stations, equipment wipe-down efforts, and employee PPE. SafeWorks Illinois, who provides on-site medical services for Rantoul Foods, is continuing proactive daily conversations with CUPHD regarding employees who have tested positive, including their quarantine status and return to work dates. The safety of employees and the community at large is of utmost importance, and every effort is being made to screen and educate employees in order to minimize any spread through the plant. CUPHD is also coordinating with the OSF Pandemic Health Worker, PHW, program, who is providing daily contact, assessment, and follow-up with all employees who have tested positive or are determined to have had close contact with someone who has tested positive, to ensure that workers are getting the care they need while quarantined. SafeWorks Illinois is at 1806 North Market Street in Champaign, Illinois, 61822. Their number is 217-356-6150. This community effort provides a model for how employers, healthcare, and community organizations can come together to address the ongoing threat of COVID-19. Employers are an essential part of the communities in which they operate, and understanding that these facilities do not operate in a vacuum will help with strategies to lessen the impact when outbreaks occur. Rantoul Foods is the employer of choice for many workers and injects approximately $25 million in payroll into the local economy each year. The impact of COVID-19 on Rantoul Foods is felt not only by the company and its employees, but also by the village of Rantoul and the approximately 200 pork producers who are primarily located in a 4-hour radius of Rantoul, who rely on the company to purchase their hogs. Most of Rantoul Foods producers are small, family-owned, independent operators whose main source of income is from hog farming. As with the entire meat processing industry, the food supply chain relies on the efforts Rantoul Foods and other facilities are making to provide a safe work environment for their employees. Graduation starts for first of 167 grads to receive diplomas at RTHS. Lance Cloninger said he didn't know what to expect for graduation this year. He said he can look back and tell people he was part of one of the most unique graduation ceremonies ever held at Rantoul Township High School. Cloninger was one of the grads who walked across stage to receive his diploma Thursday, the first of 3 days of graduation at RTHS. There were no speeches, no choral numbers, no cheering, just Principal Todd Wilson reading off the graduates' names before they walked across stage, picked up their diploma off a table, turned their tassel from right to left, and then headed off stage to have their individual photos taken. A professional photographer and a videographer captured it all on stage. "It's strange," Cloninger said. "I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest." He said he will have a story to tell. Cloninger, like most people, was shocked by the developments of the past few months and the quarantine that accompanied the COVID-19 pandemic. I certainly wasn't expecting to have like a third of my senior year taken away over the coronavirus pandemic, he said. I'm still kind of stunned by that a little bit, to be honest. Kleininger wasn't able to complete the track season for the Eagles, and like all other students, had to finish his studies at home. He was able to run cross-country in the fall. Fellow grad Delma Cobb said she has kept busy during the quarantine. Cobb is working two jobs in addition to having taken classes online. She works at Dunkin' Donuts and recently got a job at Combe Laboratories, where one of the products made is hand sanitizer. We're bringing in a lot of people, she said of Combe. I just got hired because they need more people. Otherwise, she said, it's been all right. I don't really like the fact we have to graduate separately because I wanted to graduate with everybody in my class. I always forget the mask part, too. A total of 167 graduates will receive their diplomas. I'm getting to spend so much time with my family, RTHS seniors write of the quarantine. Rantoul Township High School seniors have been asked to write about what this final semester of their school year has been like. From Jonathan Gossett. Living during this historical and tragic pandemic that has affected the entire world has been really hard on me, as I'm sure it has on everyone in their own ways. I miss seeing my friends, running at track meets, and taking part in many other school activities that were planned for the year. These include the NHS-hosted Senior Olympics and other senior activities like going around the grade schools, the picnic, and so on. During this time, I have been keeping myself busy with a full-time job at Domino's as a delivery driver. The job not only provides money, but has also been a coping mechanism, distraction, for what has been going on. I miss watching sports on TV and in person, lifting at the forum, going to the movies, eating out at restaurants, hanging with friends, and many other things that I've realized I've taken a bit for granted when it was available. I think in a way, COVID-19 has made us all realize how grateful we are with the opportunities we have. From Peyton Holes. Going through this pandemic is tough for everyone, and it's definitely difficult for all of us seniors missing out on the most looked forward to events of high school. Although it is a bummer, we all know it is much more important to focus on keeping everyone safe and healthy. During this time, I am trying to keep a positive mindset and focus on the benefits of this situation. It is not healthy for us to waste our time thinking of all the things we are missing out on right now. I will be attending college in the fall, and because of this pandemic, I am getting to spend so much time with my family that I otherwise would not be able to do. I also see this time to take a break from our fast-paced lifestyles, slow down, and have more time to just relax. One of the things I miss the most is having a normal daily routine and having things to do. I also miss seeing all the friendly faces at school and always having people to talk to. I miss seeing my teachers and RTHS staff. This whole situation escalated so abruptly, none of us got a proper goodbye. And of course I am upset that I will not have a normal graduation, get to walk through the halls of my grade school in my cap and gown, or attend my senior prom. But I know I will have bigger and better opportunities in my future. It's so easy to dwell on everything we don't get to do right now, but to all of the seniors, graduating high school is just the beginning of everything we will achieve in life. Indiana Beach plans VIP reopening, June 26th. Public reopening at 50% capacity on June 27th. From Monticello. With COVID-19 restrictions still in place, amusement and water parks won't be able to legally open to full capacity until July 4th. Indiana Beach, however, is planning an opening of sorts June 26th, a VIP grand opening, the day before the entire park comes back to life for the public. But the only way to get in the door for the June 26th VIP event is to invest some cash beforehand by purchasing a brick or a special VIP package plan. It's all part of Indiana Beach's reopening plans for 2020. The bricks are part of a plan by Indiana Beach Holdings, LLC, the new owners of the park, to build excitement for IB's upcoming 100th anniversary in 2026. The project titled Road to 100 Years is a fundraising effort by new owner and CEO Gene Staples that will aid in infrastructure and campground improvements. purchasing a 4-inch by 8-inch brick for the brick paver campaign, as it is called, will become the literal foundation of Indiana Beach. This is a community effort, and we look forward to paving our way to 100 years with you and your families, Indiana Beach's newly redesigned website states. Two packages are available, one 4x8 brick for $75, or one brick and VIP package for $169. The VIP package includes2 tickets to the June 26 event, ability to see the park before anyone else, live music and entertainment, rides, walk the boardwalk, and other activities. The website states that people who cannot attend the VIP event can still support the brick paving initiative, as all purchased bricks will forever be a part of Indiana Beach's legacy. People can also purchase a commemorative brick for $30 as a keepsake. The brick comes with a felt backing. It is unclear if people will be able to inscribe text on the bricks, although that has usually been the case in other fundraisers involving bricks, including those at Constitution Plaza next to the White County Building in Monticello. The website states that space for the VIP event will be extremely limited. Visit online to fill out the online form and to get started. Indiana Beach will be legally allowed to reopen to the public in accordance with Governor Eric Holcomb's Back on Track Indiana plan to reopen the state's economy. The state will then be in stage 4 of the plan, which starts June 14th, and allows for amusement and water parks to reopen at 50% capacity, using a reservation system to limit the number of guests inside the park at any one time. The 94-year-old amusement and water park resort's future seemed doomed February 18th when Indiana Beach's former owner, Apex Parks Group, announced it was permanently closing the facility because of financial reasons. Staples, during a recent White County Commission meeting, said he had expressed an interest in buying the park shortly after the closure announcement and was able to put together a deal in early April to buy it and keep it open. White County helped with the endeavor, officially giving Staples and Indiana Beach Holdings, LLC, a $3 million loan on May 11th, which may be entirely forgiven should the park continue operations and meet other benchmarks through September 1st, 2025. Staples could not be reached for comment Thursday afternoon. Normally at this time we would read the death notices for the week, but like last week, we do not have any new death notices listed. So we will continue and read more news and opinion to finish. And now, letters to the editor. Americans deserve the proper response this crisis demands. To the editor. In just the 44 days since I last wrote to the editor, the confirmed COVID-19 cases in the United States have multiplied from 100,000 to more than 1.3 million. The number of Americans killed has risen from a merely horrific 1,300 on March 27th to a staggering 81,000 dead by Mother's Day. The political pressure to lift restrictions on places of work, education, and recreation has grown as President Trump encourages his more militant supporters to liberate states. The president has pursued this jobs before lives agenda, even despite the fact that the restrictions have saved thousands of people, and despite the strong likelihood that prematurely abandoning the restrictions will reignite the deadly spread and needlessly kill many thousands more. Epidemiologists agree there is a way to reopen businesses, schools, and parks relatively fast and with a high degree of safety, if only the president would institute a coherent national program of widespread testing, contact tracing, isolation, and treatment. He has long had the power to make it happen. As we pass 81,000 deaths, when can we expect the president will stop preening before the cameras about his ratings, his personal grievances, and the terrible press coverage one might expect when the United States loses more people in 2 months than in all the decades of the Vietnam War? The buck stopped on Truman's desk. For Trump, crises are just things to blame on someone else. Americans deserve the response this crisis demands, not cheap assertions of great success while our government fails so many. From Chris Powers, Rantoul. And now another letter to the editor from Jim Amon. prominent Democrats have said for years, never let a crisis go to waste. Most Dems and the left-leaning news media look at the China virus as another weapon to attack our president. The left cares little about people's lives, starting with the unborn. Look at the abortion industry. That's a real pandemic. These people would like our economy and everything Trump stands for to collapse until Election Day. Then Joe Biden would come to our rescue. May God help us. On April 23rd, J.B. Pritzker announced an extension of the stay-at-home order for Illinois, as well as mandatory face coverings in public on May 1st. If this virus is so bad, why wait a week? There's a lot of things that don't add up with this so-called pandemic. Pritzker and company even tried to extort the American people for over $40 billion, blaming Illinois' financial woes on the virus. Poor Democrat management has Illinois looking like a ship of fools, which is far bigger problem than this virus. The governor's job is performed as non-essential, so he needs to go home, hide for a few months, and peek out of his abode one day after the November 3rd election, when Donald J. Trump will be reelected for 4 more years. And finally, from Jim Nolan, pandemic is exposing multiple fault lines in our society. The coronavirus crisis has exposed critical fault lines in our nation's bedrock, which must be addressed. I identify three below, but there are others, such as fiscal sufficiency for Social Security and Medicare, both programs taking a hit from the virus and our spending to combat it. First, we obviously need an American technology industrial policy. In many areas, China is surpassing our once vaunted technological prowess. The rapid rollout of 5G technology around the world by Chinese behemoth Huawei, while American companies struggle to catch up, should be a wake-up call. And since we have exported much of our manufacturing to Asia, we find our nation without either the supply or the ready capacity to produce the healthcare goods we need to help staunch the viral spread. Business, government, and research labs at our universities and elsewhere must collaborate on strategies and funding streams for basic and applied research, as well as for capacity building for the production of goods and services that we need internally and for sale worldwide. Second, we must confront the serious disarray in the American family. I was struck by the scramble of shuttered school districts across America to see that breakfast, lunch, and snacks are delivered daily to kids at home during the pandemic. This suggests a dramatic increase in dependence on government in too many households. In my rural confines, single parenting has become almost the norm in many communities. I once observed that government has replaced dad in many of these households. Now, as schools bustle to get meals regularly to the kids, you might say that government has even supplanted many moms in this fundamental responsibility of parenting. Standing in line at a grocery recently, I overheard an admittedly harried-looking mom observe to the clerk about school-delivered meals, "It's just one more meal I don't have to prepare." We will never return to the idealized household of Ozzie and Harriet, which we learned later wasn't all that ideal either. Still, we need to assess what might be done to stabilize and strengthen millions of homes where often undereducated singles can apparently neither provide basic supports nor set high expectations for achievement for their children. Third, we need to reset our politics. Recent actions by Congress and the President to address the coronavirus illustrate that we can rise above polarization, that governance is indeed more important than politics. Though it should be noted that it is always easier to spend big money than to pay for it later. To read the full letter by Jim Nolan, please see the print version of the Rantoul Press. This has been Tamara reading for the week of May 13th. I hope to read with you again soon. Be safe, be well.